Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
My tomorrow will be greater than my yesterday. Somebody in the room say amen. The mantle, the covering does two things. It gives protection, it gives purpose. You can be protected and covered by the mantle, but if you continue to act crazy and live like you want to under the covering, you cannot fulfill purpose, which means that you are stagnant and you are stalemated, meaning this, that God's covering protects you and keeps you like you are, but you never allow the covering of God to transform you to be what he's called you to be and to do what he has called you to do. 1 Kings 19, verse 19, where we jumped off our theme scripture for this series. So Elijah departs, and he finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He was with the 12, and Elijah passed him by, and he just threw the mantle. He threw the cloak, the sheepskin, on Elisha. There's one thing that I want to just take about 60 seconds, and I promise you I won't beat this drum to death tonight, but Elijah did not find Elisha waiting. Elijah found Elisha working. He did not find him twiddling his thumbs, waiting for God to show up and God do all the work. This is what Elisha said. Elisha said, you say, is that in the Bible? You know what you know how Elisha was raised, and you know how he thought about work by how God finds him. Elisha is not sitting on his front porch saying, well, I know I've got a great call of God on my life, and I know God has promised me this great covering, and I know that I'm going to be anointed. This is what Elisha said. Elisha says, until I'm anointed to serve in the kingdom, I'm going to serve my physical father and mother. I'm going to get a job and I'm going to work a job. And when God finds me, he's not going to find me waiting. He's going to find me working. Can I encourage somebody today? If you want the blessing of God in your life, you've got to get busy. If you're under the age of 18, get ready to go back into elementary, junior high, high school, or college, and you say, well, I don't have a job. No, your school is your job. A's and B's is how you get paid. If you don't show up and you make D's and F's, that's like you getting fired. And so I want to encourage you, whatever season you're in, put your hand to the plow and say, God, until you promote me, I'm going to serve where you have placed me. I'm going to serve mom and dad until you open the door to greater. I'm going to serve my community until you open the door to another city, another calling, another place. I'm talking to you, Elisha. I know you want the double portion, but can you work when nobody knows your name and nobody knows what God has called you to do? Elisha was working while he waited. And he found by surprise that while he was plowing, the man of God, one of the greatest men to ever live, does not say a word to Elisha. He just walks by Elisha and throws the mantle on him and keeps moving forward. The greatest promotions in my life and in your life, if you look back, will come when we work and operate in excellence. Let me just say stuff that I've seen proven. The greatest jobs that you will ever have don't come when you're unemployed. They come when you're already working. The greatest season of your relationship does not come after you've had 8 horrible breakups and you're on the rebound. It's when you're living your best single life now. God says, now that you have perfected singleness and how to be single. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen in tonight. Maybe this is for someone online. Oh, you're single. When God says, when you perfect singleness, that's when I'm going to bring you that spouse that you've been praying for. Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, Mrs. Listen, let's go beyond right. Mr. Righteous, Mrs. Righteous, that's when you start living a single righteous life, I will bring you Mr. or Mrs. Righteous. Listen, it's not hard, and I don't want to rain on Alyssa's parade, my son's fiance, my future daughter-in-law. I don't want to rain on her parade. Planning a wedding is not hard. Building a marriage is hard. Building a house, not hard. Building a home, hard. Making a kid, easy. Raising a child, hard. Getting a job, easy. Keeping a job, hard. Starting to serve, easy. Serving for 40 years like Brother Warren Inman, hard. I am here to tell you, we are not looking for people that can grab a hold of the plow where the church has dropped it. Is we've gotten fat and sassy living on the blessing of God. But when it came time and times got tough, we let go of the plow. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not going to keep plowing, don't touch the plow. Don't start. The way you end one season is how you start that next season. So end strong. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, end strong. End strong. Tyler and Alyssa, this engagement season of your life, it's the easiest season you'll ever have as a couple. How many of you remember how fun it was to be engaged? I was engaged 6 months to the day. August 15th, I asked Mandy to marry me. February 15th, we got married. And all I did was nod my head up and down. Brandon, what do you think about this color? Yep. Oh, I changed it to this color. I love that color too. What do you think about this dress? Oh, awesome. Love it. What do you want to have at the reception? I was like, yep. She's like, I haven't even given you options. I'm good with whatever. As long as you actually show up at 5 p.m. on February 15th, that's all that matters. It was easy street. But I'm going to tell you what, 6 months in, it was tough. Not to tell all my business, but 6 months in, coming home to my wife crying and saying, you're never at home. We got to fix this. And I wasn't out chasing women. I was just out hanging out with my friends like I had done before I was married. I didn't know the hard work to keep it going, that marriage was more than just a day. Can I encourage you, when the mantle shows up, getting the mantle is easy, but living and operating under what God has placed on you is hard. You've got to wake up saying, God, I can't do what you've called me to do by myself. I can't go where you've called me to go unless your Holy Spirit leads me. I can't stay married to her. She can't stay married to me. We can't raise these kids unless you are involved. Somebody say, hard work pays off. Check this out. God told Elisha in verse 16, he said, go. He said, you're going to find the son of Shapheth plowing. He said, there, I want you to throw the mantle on him. Check this out. And this is where a lot of us miss it. We expect God to meet us where we are all the time. God did not tell Elijah where Elisha was at that moment. He said, by the time you get to Elisha, this is where he's going to be. Elijah doesn't go and look for Elijah. Elijah goes to where God said Elisha was going to be. Elijah's not out there saying, well, I wonder where he's at. No, he goes exactly where God said he was going to be. Some of us miss it because we're waiting for God to drop us something here when God said, that's not where I told you to be. I told you to be over there, and that is where you're supposed to be. Some of us are doing the right thing at the right time, but we're standing in the wrong place. I'm here to mess up some of your thinking. Could it be that Elijah, the reason he didn't say a word? Could it be the reason he didn't have a discourse with Elisha was because maybe he wasn't throwing the mantle on a man at all? Maybe he was throwing the mantle at a place. And Elisha had to be in the right place. See, the reason that I love coming to church on Wednesday night is I know every other place I could be, I know this is the right place for 75 to 90 minutes. I know that when I'm talking to God, sometimes God doesn't meet me. Have you ever talked to God and it sounds like God doesn't know you? That's because God is not talking to the you now. God is talking to the you he called you to be and created you to be. Sometimes God is not talking to 2022 Brandon. Sometimes God is talking to 2024 Brandon. And he's saying, I'm talking to you like this to get you pumped up. Why? Because I'm getting ready to throw a pass, not where you are, but a good quarterback always throws the ball where the receiver is supposed to be. A good quarterback doesn't throw at the receiver. He throws where the receiver is supposed to be. Both of them know the play. It's the quarterback's job to get the ball. Now, I know a lot of you don't like Tom Brady, and that's okay. Anytime Tom Brady misses a pass, I never blame Tom Brady, even if it was his fault. I'm always thinking there's something wrong with that receiver. He got mixed up. Can I encourage you with this? Anytime God throws something your way, if you don't catch it, it's never his fault. You can never blame God for a bad pass. You say, well, it was nowhere near me. No, you were nowhere near it. Some of us complain, well, God, man, if you would have done that in 2021, we would have been fine. God said, oh, I was going to do it then, but that's not, I'm not giving you, blessing you, leading you to places that you already are. I am taking you to places that I promised you would be. And if I always meet you just where you are and not take you where you're supposed to be, I wouldn't be the kind. And I'm not telling you that God won't meet you there, but I'm telling you, if you want God to take you further, you are going to have to meet God in the place he has called you to be. To piggyback on our Sunday series, the Bible says that when he told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house and there I will have a word for you. Here's a prophet that talks to God every day, and God said, I can't talk to you here. I need you to go there, because I'm getting ready to lay on you something there that over here it won't make sense to you, but there in the house is going to make perfect sense. Some of us have missed it because we expect him to throw it where we are and not where we are supposed to be. Elijah comes cruising through there. I don't think he even breaks stride, and he throws the mantle, not at a person only, but at a place. God did not tell Elijah where Elisha was. God told him where Elisha would be. Verse 20, after the mantle has hit the shoulders of Elisha, the Bible says he leaves the oxen, runs after Elijah, and says unto him, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Verse 21, he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elijah said, if he really wants the mantle, he'll figure out where I'm at, because I'm not done with the mantle yet. And until I get done with the mantle, he can't have the mantle. And let's be honest, if he gets the mantle, he's not going to know what he needs to do with the mantle. So he's got to serve me, the man with the mantle, for a season, so he knows what to do with the mantle. Could it be that the reason you've been riding shotgun, could it be that the reason that you haven't been the one in control is because God has put you next to men and women that have been there and done that? That's why accountability and mentorship is so important, because Elijah said, I could give you this mantle, but if I leave you and you leave me, you won't know what to do with it. But bring me back that mantle, and I will show you everything that mantle means. I will show you the spirit that you carry. I will show you what you can do. I will show you how to live with the mantle. He goes back, kisses his father and mother, takes the very oxen, takes the plow, the wooden plows, and he creates an altar, lights that altar, and he burns the very oxen that he is working and plowing with. Your mantle, church, your future, if you're writing notes, take this down. I got a few moments left. Your mantle, your future depends on what you do with the plows of your life, with the bridges in your life. You know what I love about this right here? He is doing something that makes him committed to the process. Most importantly, he's doing something that he cannot undo. Meaning this, when he wakes up tomorrow and says, I wish I hadn't said yes to God, he thinks, I can't go back. There's nothing to plow with. Mom and Dad are going to kill me. I kissed them first before I burnt the plow. There's nothing to go back to. Fast forward in the New Testament. Imagine what would have happened in Peter's life if he would have burnt the boat the first day Jesus said, follow me. Because anybody that knows the story of Peter, what does he do every time he gets double-minded and has a bad moment? He runs back to the boat. Some of us are stuck in a circle cycle because we refuse to burn bridges that God has called us to burn. Here's what you can do. You can repair old bridges, you can build new bridges, or you can burn bridges. And those three options are available at any moment of your life. You say, I don't know what to do. I'm glad that you presented that quandary, because when I don't know what to do, I ask God, God, is this a bridge I need to repair? Is this a bridge I need to destroy? Is there someplace I need to build a new bridge? And guess what? He either shows me in his word or the Holy Spirit gives me discernment. And I know, all right, this is a relationship that needs repairing, because I'm going to bless them and they're going to bless me. All right, this is a bridge that needs to be burned, because I know in a weak moment, maybe not in July, but maybe August, September, October, I'm going to have a weak moment. And if that bridge is still there, I'm going to run back to who I used to be. Elisha burns it. He pursues. This is what Elijah, the first thing he gives, besides the mantle, the first things he gives, this is not in my notes, but it's just something that I've always enjoyed about this story. This is the only thing Elisha knew about where Elijah went. All he knew was direction. I know he walked that way. Goes home, kisses mom and dad, burns the plow, feeds everybody there. And then he just says, I know the man of God and the mantle went this way. Listen, you might not know everything. You just need to know God's direction. Where's he moving? Which way he's going? I might not be able to match him step for step right now, but I know which direction he's moving. I know which direction he's going. I might not be everything I should be, but I'm on the right path. I'm on the right road. He headed north, I'm going north. He took a left over here, that's the direction I'm going. Somebody say amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said, this is Jesus talking now, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Elisha could not look back. There was nothing to see. It was all ash. We are all holding a plow, church. Every believer in this room, every unbeliever in this room, every believer and unbeliever that happens to be watching live or an archive view of this service days, weeks, months, years from now, we are all holding a plow. The question is, what plow are you holding on to? Are you holding the plow of your past or the plow of your purpose? Here's the choice, church, and in just a few moments, the praise team's coming now. In just a few moments, church, you're going to have the option to pick your plow. Every one of us is pushing a plow every day. Are we pushing the plow of past? Are we pushing the plow of purpose? Elisha burned his past plow so that he had nothing to go back to. But Jesus said, oh, you need to grab the plow, but if you grab the plow, don't look back. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it many more times as long as I'm preaching. The greatest miracle in the Old Testament when it comes to Moses and him leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt was not that he opened the Red Sea. That's a pretty good miracle. Opens the Red Sea enough for millions of people in one night to pass through on dry ground. It wasn't just a six-foot stretch. It opened up thousands of feet wide, and the Bible says they walked through on dry ground. How many of you know that's a great miracle? But the greatest miracle of the Red Sea is not that it opened, that it closed. Because there was numerous time in 40 years that when they were wandering around and in the wilderness that they said, I wish we could go back to Egypt. I wish we could go back to slavery. You know, the enemy always makes your now so messed up and gets us so discombobulated that we actually think our past is better than our present. But I'm here to tell you that is smoke and mirrors. The enemy loves to make you think nostalgically that yesterday was better than today. But I'm so grateful that everything God brought us through, everything he brought me through, I'm grateful that he closed it, because there's been times when I've run back only to find out it is closed. There's no way I can go back. And then I've got to turn around and I've got to face my giants. There would be no promised land if the Red Sea was never closed. But it's closed. The bridge has been burned. The plow has been burned. We must forge ahead. The mantle moment of your life, that defining moment of your life, believer, is going to put you in a place that no matter what happens in your life, Faith in Christ is going to say we must forge ahead. There's nothing behind us. There's nothing worth going back to. Come on, just look at the testimony of your life, church. Look at all of the religion he brought you out of. Look at all of the drug addiction he brought you out of. Look at all of the lascivious life that he brought us out of. Everything that was not like him, he brought us out of. But I'm so grateful that we burnt those bridges. That in times we would run back, God said, oh, no. I brought you too far. We must forge ahead. And it is mantle moments that we pull our strength from. The word that God spoke that we remember. Stand on your feet. The miracle that God did that we now draw from. Just in my family, I've talked about it at the very first message in this series, which because of camp was 6 weeks ago. We've been here a while, but I wanted this thing to get in your spirit. I've seen too much. It's just like that song, He's Too Good Not to Believe. I'm not even talking about your miracles. I'm talking about mom and dad beating cancer like 6 or 7 times now. You say that's an exaggeration. Oh, no, it's not. Multiple cancer reports. Mom had a tumor pushing her eyeball out of the eye socket on a Wednesday night just like this. Mantle moment. God heals her. Her face goes back to how it was. The doctor's nurse gets saved after seeing and hearing the bona fide real miracle. Tyler had terrible eyesight. Wore glasses, I mean, from pre-K 3. I think he wore them for 2 or 3 years. We had our friend Jonathan Super come by on a Saturday night. Jonathan Super laid hands on him. He has that gift of healing. Now, I have the gift of healing, and you do too, but his is magnified. He laid his hands on Tyler's head, blew in his face. Tyler's had 20/20 vision since that day. We went to the doctor. The doctor said, take those glasses off. You don't need them. Jaden didn't talk till she was 4 years old. I've texted her on Wednesday nights. I said, you're talking too much. You got to save some time for me. Singing songs, writing songs, leading worship. My wife was born crippled. Said she'd never walk. Here she is, and she walks really good. Bishop was in an accident 9 years ago. They said he wouldn't live through the night. 3 days later, he came walking out the hospital. Mantle moment. Where you at, church? I know there's somebody that needs to burn the plow tonight. If you're ready to burn the plow, if you're ready to pick the plow, I need you to join us in this altar. Some of you have been waiting the last 10 minutes for me to shut up so you can come have this moment, this Jesus moment. Remember, momentum is built up on stacked moments. Your moment tonight could build that momentum that you need to get to where God has called you to be. I want us for the next few moments to pray. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. But you can pray in English, pray in Spanish, pray in Portuguese. One of our newest members, she's fluent in Portuguese. Listen, just begin to pray.